before I make a brief comments on this section before us and the answer to the questions of the mechanics of, or the question as the scripture have put them, how and what, I want to give a minute to our brother David Daisley just to make a clarification to, because we didn't have time in the early reading to just clarify the point that he was making.
Just in the event that the use of the word life in association with resurrection of the unbeliever might have caused a little bit of concern. So let me just hopefully modify things so that we get the point that I had in view. So we're going to remove that word life from there, because there is a certain amount of existence that's going to occur to the unbeliever, because he's going to have to stand before God. So as in Adam, we said all found in that category, all died. As in Christ, shall all be raised. I'm reminded of what you get the truth in John 5. And this is what I was really connecting it with. It says in John 5 and verse 29. Verse 28, wonder not at this, for an hour is coming, verse 28 is really what I want, in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice. That all is inclusive as you go down. You'd see it has some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of damnation. So this very one who brings us, the believers, up in resurrection power to life is the same one who in where the unbeliever is concerned is going to bring them up in resurrection unto them damnation. And that's just the thrust of what I had in mind. The all that are in the grave, Christian, believer, and unbeliever, will hear his voice. Two different occasions. Because the resurrection has two aspects to it. The resurrection of living ones to glory, you and I included, and the resurrection of those who are coming up to damnation and given a body suitable to experience the eternal flames of God.
Thank you.
Just enough.
Thank you. The Bible studies are wonderful. The Bible readings are great. Never give them up, because it is an opportunity where we could sit under the sound of the Word of God and afresh realize that we know in part and appreciate the Word of God more and more again. The challenge always is this: after a Bible conference, after a word of ministry, please, let's go home and go over the verse. A clean animal, one of their qualifications is to chew the cud. We need to go over these things over and over again, so the Spirit of God will bring in power to our hearts the meanings of the scripture. We have seen very clearly in the first reading the establishment of the fact of the resurrection of Christ in the scripture by the witnessing of many people. We have seen also how the Spirit of God put before us the disastrous result if the teaching of that there is no bodily resurrection is true, the disastrous impact. He said, the first thing is, preaching is in vain. We are false witnesses. That's a gospel that you have heard this afternoon is really false. It's no reason for it at all. It's in vain. The preaching of the death and the resurrection of Christ in vain. There are liars who are preaching the gospel and claiming Christ that is risen. Your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins, which is, it's an awful thing. If Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins. Resurrection is vital and it's very important. Not only that, those who have slept in Jesus have perished.
Yeah.
There is no hope. And he said, why are we willing to take a place of those who have departed from the scene? Why are we encouraged to be baptized for the dead, which means to take the place of those who have departed from us, to carry on the testimony, to carry on the responsibility if there is no resurrection? That's why he said, awake into righteousness. Be sober. Don't Don't be intoxicated and influenced by wrong teaching. But then the scripture is really wonderful. So the question arises, and that is verse 35. And there he stated to us a question that might come to somebody's mind. And he said, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Again, the resurrection, because death is associated with the body, the resurrection is associated with the body. So the question to a natural mind, well, how is that going to take place? Okay, you sat before us the reality of it, but how is that going to take place? The two questions that we need to really answer, what the scripture is answering to us, is the first one is how are the dead raised? That's the first question that we need to answer. The second question is, what body do they come? I find it very interesting, and I struggle with it back and forth. Which verses answer the first question, and which verses answer the second question? Sometimes I see it clearly, and sometimes I think they are not really kind of cut in a straight line. But I just think that the second question is answered first, and that is, with what body do they come? Because he goes to talk about the different kind of bodies and how they are different from glory to glory. And the first question is, how are the dead are raised, is really answered second from verse 46 or so to the end. But we need to kind of go in an orderly way here. We need to kind of talk a little bit again, because scripture is clearly saying, does not nature itself teach you? He is appealing to nature now, to the creation of God, to explain the truth of resurrection.
I'd like to make a connection between what we concluded with this morning and this passage. As the apostle is explaining this truth, he is anticipating this question. But we can see from the context, this is a dishonest question. It's a dishonest question because in verse 36, he says, you're a fool to ask that question. And so we shouldn't get the sense that if somebody really came with a question, that we're going to be called fools by someone who knows the answer. Questions are very helpful. Questions are very necessary. And when it's an honest question, the Lord Jesus always answered honest questions. The apostles always answered honest questions with answers, with very helpful information and scriptural explanations. But when they were dishonest questions, then it was exposed, and that's what the situation is here. These were people who were preaching that there's no resurrection of the dead, and there was therefore an implication as to how it would affect the Lord Jesus himself. We saw that already. And also, especially in connection with all that we had in the verses that we concluded with, look at the fact that the resurrection even includes all the glory that's to come. We didn't get to talk about that too much in verses 24 to 28. But that's all part of this package of teaching, if you might say, of the resurrection. And then the apostle imagines, what if somebody would hear the glory that is associated with the Lord Jesus, all of these wonderful truths that are connected with resurrection, and wants to interfere with the development of this by asking what seems like a technical question. You remember the Sadducees came and asked the Lord Jesus a question about resurrection, but they didn't even believe in resurrection. They told the story, they said, well, there was this woman, she had a husband, her husband died, she married the brother, because that's what the law prescribed. And therefore, after marrying seven in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? But they didn't believe the resurrection. It was a dishonest question. It was a stock argument that they used to try to confuse one who believed the resurrection. That's what this question is too. How could there be resurrection? How could the dead be raised up? What kind of body will they have? These are people who don't really want the answer, and they are deaf to this glorious teaching that's been presented about the Lord Jesus and his coming kingdom, and the fact that even after the kingdom, God will be all in all. It all grows out of this teaching of resurrection. And they say, well, what about the technicalities? They're deaf to really appreciating the person of Christ. If our hearts are attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not going to ask dishonest questions. We might have to ask legitimate questions, but this is a dishonest one. And so therefore, Paul answers in the way that he does. It's foolish. You're being a fool to ask a question when you don't really believe what the scripture has presented, and you try to trip up the one who is teaching it.